You're listening to the Parent Pod Podcast by Gymboree Play and Music with Adonica Shaw, a weekly conversation about early childhood development topics for parents with children ages 0 to 5. While the content of this show is meant to be informative, it is not meant to replace the guidance of your physician, therapist, or pediatrician.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Parent Pod Podcast by Gymboree Play and Music. I'm your host, Adonica Shaw. Today, we are joined by Murray Hittery, who is an amazing composer, a musician, and somebody who just quite frankly is the leading voice in visual arts and the founder of a company, if you've heard of it, called Mind Travel. And so we're so excited to have him here on the show today. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his own background, but also about music and how it can help your little one thrive in their early years of life. Murray, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adonica. Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here and sharing these thoughts.
Wonderful. So for the folks at home who might not have heard of you, and I know that I have an expansive bio here in front of me, but what are some of the things that you've accomplished in your career? How might they also know you? Do you sit on any notable boards? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So, ever since I was a child, I just love creating. I love creating things. And over the years, that's manifested as creating companies as an entrepreneur in the technology world. And that I did that out of college and had a great time building teams and new technologies. And then in terms of music and art, I've showed my visual photography and artwork in galleries around the country, and most recently sharing my music through this experience called Mind Travel, which is really about transporting people through music and really moving people to purpose through music. So those are some of the ways that my creativity has come out into the world, and that's really the driving force behind everything I do is, you know, creation and connection.
Oh, that's so inspiring. Was there anybody in your family that also studied music? Was there anything that you did maybe growing up that opened this up to you? Because music and art and technology, you know, it's kind of a triple threat there. Was there anything that your family did with you very early on that really sparked this for you?
You know, it was my mother's vision that all of her children, all of us would play some instrument or another. And primarily because when she was a young girl, she wasn't able to take music lessons as a child. For whatever reason, you know, her parents, my grandparents, weren't able to do that. So she vowed that when she had kids, she would bring music into the house and into their lives. So all of my siblings, five of us, we all play instruments of different kinds. And you know, music for me as a, you know, I started playing when I was 5 years old, and I knew very quickly, pretty much in high school, I wanted to be a composer and create my own music. And I found that music for me was an incredibly powerful language because I was a very shy kid. Words didn't come as easily as music did. And I had a harder time expressing myself verbally, and music became a very powerful outlet for me to express my emotions and just whatever was going on for me. So by the time I got to college, I you know, majored in music and became a composer.
That's tremendous. Now, from the time you were five until now, you've accomplished quite a bit. Is there any particular achievement that really stands out to you that really marked kind of the full circle of your entirety of your career and your relationship with music, say, from the time that you were a child and it's something that your mother instilled into you until today, where you have Mind Travel, where you're out actively working with other people to bring them into your gift?
You know, as a composer, you always think about, you know, writing that great symphony. You think about, you know, the kind of music you want to express and trying to come up with something that is fresh, is new, is groundbreaking in terms of its artistry and its musicality. And of course, as a performer, you know, when I sit at the piano, I try to express, you know, music as emotionally as I can and as impactfully as I can. But I'll tell you, Adonica, when I when I started Mind Travel about 6 years ago and started to bring this music experience to people, the most fulfilling part of all the music I had done in my life, in terms of all the compositions I had performed by, you know, whether it's symphonies or other musicians or all the pieces I had written, it was eclipsed by the interactions I had at the front lines of these experiences, these concerts, where I would see people really connecting with the music and, you know, not just physically there, but emotionally and spiritually, having such a profound impact on their lives. People that were going through profound grief, people that were going through trauma of different kinds, a lot of folks with PTSD that found real healing in the music, and just all kinds of stress and anxiety and issues that were able to be healed through the music. And even as most recently as one of the events I did virtually online, you know, given the COVID era now, where we had families and kids, young kids from 5 to 12 joining, and I can see them on the Zoom as they interact with the music. And that's really where the magic is for me, when you see the impact on another human being and that incredibly innocent and beautiful connection that music can create, that music can forge. And even though I don't know the details of these people, it's not necessary to create a tremendously powerful bond, this human connection, you know, between us.
Oh my goodness. So just for those of you who are unaware, just a couple of weeks ago, I believe you hosted a live piano, and I believe it had a guided meditation, and there was a creative coloring component to this event that you're speaking of as well. And so I think for those of us who do have children, and myself, I do, got three kids under 12, living in this COVID-19 era, in terms of keeping music alive and keeping some of these things that they would probably learn in a classroom, whether that's coloring or mindfulness or meditation even, keeping those things in our day-to-day life and us taking kind of the lead in that has become more important than ever. So what are some things that parents can do with their children to kind of keep music alive in the household, whether they're pairing that with meditation or coloring or some other creative outlet?
You know, I created this Mind Travel coloring experience as a guided meditation and, you know, experience that is multimedia. It merges, you know, art and music together. And so, you know, as a multimedia artist, right, I do music and visual art. I'm trying to express the same thing, the same values through both, you know, through all media. And so bringing kids, and it's not just kids, but adults, you know, we had adults who just joined on their own in the program because, you know, coloring and expressing through color and art works for everyone, no matter what your age. And so I had, you know, kids of all ages who were able to join, and we give them these printouts that, you know, they print out at home, and they have all these different patterns to choose from that they can then color in. So it gives them kind of a framework, right, as opposed to just free drawing from scratch, which is also great as well. But some people who aren't necessarily, you know, artistically inclined, they feel it's a little harder to just draw, you know, with nothing on the page. So I give them these patterns that they can fill in and express through the structure. And so that was, you know, really powerful because the subconscious is able to express itself in color and in, you know, abstract shapes and various drawing. And so a lot comes out on the page, a lot that we may not even know we're thinking about consciously, a lot of emotions that, you know, might be suppressed that might not be coming to the surface. And especially with kids, and most especially during this time when we have a lot going on in the world and, you know, they're aware of it. They know something's going on. They know there's a lot of tension out there. There's a lot of stress out in their communities, in their families. And they don't always have the ability to express it so easily. And a lot of parents don't necessarily have the skills. I mean, how could we all have these kind of skills with unprecedented times to really ease these stressors, these tensions, these fears that kids have and all of us have. and create a way to channel it and not just allow the stress to be reduced and expressed, but allow for a deeper bonding between the family. And that's what I was seeing in these experiences where, you know, the parent is doing the coloring and listening to the music with the child, with the children. And in that silence and in the music, they're coming together and bonding. It's just absolutely magnificent to watch.
I would imagine so. You know, I've been on your social media accounts, and it looks like you do regularly have some type or some level of content where families can kind of dial in with meditation even. And I'd like to explore that a little bit more. I know that you have definitely spoken a lot about music and a lot about coloring, but I'd like to know a little bit more about the meditation part and how that got incorporated into this as well.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about mindfulness and meditation primarily with adults, you know, as a wellness, you know, modalities and practices that we can do as adults. But there's absolutely no reason why kids can't participate in these modalities as well. Kids can benefit equally to mindfulness practices. And so I actually worked with a PhD researcher from Columbia University, and she and I put together these mindfulness kind of structures for coloring and music. And, you know, she's bringing my work into Columbia University's research for kids and families. And so she really helped put a lot of the research and science behind what goes into the programs that I do. And so that's what, you know, we put into it with that kind of level of science and evidence-based research. And the kind of experience it is as simple as just having the kids do some focused, intentional breathing at the beginning to really ground them, to really calm them, and then guide them through the experience. And I do that with the voice and the music, and it really takes them through a narrative of connecting emotionally with the coloring, with the artwork. And so they end up having this mindfulness experience, which gets defined for them, and for many of them the first time, right, where mindfulness is about paying attention on purpose. And so that's a kind, for many of these kids, for many adults even, that's a new kind of experience where you're paying attention to something with intention, with kind of purpose. And then the second part of that is really critical, which is not bringing any judgment to whatever you're paying attention to. And whether it's breathing and you're like, well, am I breathing too fast or too slow, or I'm not doing it the right way, right? It's not about judging it, but just being in attentiveness with your breathing. If it's coloring, then we don't judge what we're coloring. And any expression on the page is fantastic. And so that's really where the experience kind of takes on this mindfulness and meditative element to it. It's about just being in the moment with whatever the child is doing.
Oh my goodness. This is something I'm definitely going to have to incorporate in my day-to-day. I am a heavy, I just say a heavy meditator, but I meditate pretty regularly. I have a really strong practice of it. But for those families that are just getting into the concept of mindfulness and meditation, or even just looking for simple ways, I think, to bring music or sound or song into their day-to-day life, do you have any recommendations? Are there any apps? Are they encouraged to maybe make instruments at home? How would you suggest that families, particularly those with young children, can go about that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I find that it's very challenging for people, especially with, you know, little kids, to get into the world of mindfulness and meditation by just sitting in stillness and quietness, even with some breathing. It's very challenging for kids to do that. It takes time for them to be able to be comfortable and not want to constantly be in distraction. And that's why the music and the guided voice and experiences like the coloring really help to channel and, you know, really kind of act as like train tracks, as railroad tracks, you know, for the experience, keeping everyone in the experience. So on the website for Mind Travel, we have a whole host of different experiences. Some of them are free as well. And those are supported by the Mind Travel Foundation, because we want to make sure to always bring experiences to all communities, no matter the financial capability. So we have all kinds of experiences, like the coloring experience, as well as other ones for focus, for meditation, even for sleep. We have guided experiences, both for adults and families to help sleep. And we know how critical that is for how we function throughout the day.
Yeah, sleep training is a huge thing, particularly for families that have, I wouldn't say just infants, but children that are 2 to 3 years old, where they need to keep them on a set schedule. So having them sleep trained and having them in a routine every single day is just so immensely important. And I just love there's that component in there, right, that families can consider how music can be a part of the routine and how meditation, mindfulness, and the winding down of their day can be something that's beneficial to them, not necessarily just to get their kid in bed by a certain time, of course, but then also in terms of their brain function development and having the ability to function well in the household or within whatever environment that they're in for that next day and then even ongoing. So that's fabulous. I have just a few more questions for you, but the first of the ones that I wanted to ask about, because you kind of touched on it. So if I were to introduce my child to music for the first time, is there a particular type of music or genre of music that is recommended? I've always heard that you're supposed to introduce your children to like classical music, like Mozart or Beethoven or something like that first, but I don't know how true this is. And so I'm wondering if there's, like, I hate to say, like a ranking or a priority list of music that you should introduce to your children at specific ages.
I'm glad you asked that question, because so often, you know, small kids especially are introduced to quote unquote kids music, right? And, you know, it's meant to sound childlike or, you know, what we think a kid would like. And, you know, and certainly when it comes to lyrical songs, the kinds of which we watch on, you know, whether it's cartoons or, you know, on public broadcasting or Sesame Street, and, you know, those certainly have their place. I like to think of music kind of like the meals we have throughout the day, right? Where we have meals that are nutritious, that are the entrees of our dinner, of our lunch. And then there's, you know, we have kind of dessert sometimes. And if we only had dessert all the time, we wouldn't be very well nourished. And the same thing with music. There's music that's kind of like dessert, that's fun and you know, kind of uplifts us. And there's music that's kind of like the nourishing entree, the healthy meal that really sustains us. And when we look at something like classical music, you know, it's such a vast genre of music, right? I mean, there's an infinite amount of music. You can never exhaust all the classical music if you listen to all of it nonstop. But certainly music like Mozart and Bach, they really kind of help the brain of the child listen to a lot of different things at the same time, because it's pretty complex music. And so there are pieces that really can be conducive to that. Mozart especially, because it seems to sound in some cases almost childlike. First of all, a lot of the pieces Mozart wrote as a child prodigy, but they're incredibly sophisticated at the same time. So I think that's a great place to start. Again, it may not be, you know, the most modern or current expression of sophisticated music or nourishing music. And that's really where I came to this at from as a composer trained classically. I grew up, you know, playing and learning Bach and Mozart and all of it. And I wanted to give people sophisticated music, but that was accessible and that really was research-based in terms of how certain patterns affect the mind, affect the brain, and allow us to focus, allow our brainwave states to ease into a rejuvenation mode, because, you know, we're always emitting electrical brainwave signals, and music can impact that directly. And so that's the approach that I've taken. And so when kids are listening to my music, it's not necessarily a kid's version. It doesn't sound like kids' music, yet kids love it because they're these really delicious patterns and there's an abstraction to it. So it really kind of puts them into this wonderful trance and actually calms them down. You know, I have this one, kindergarten teacher who kept writing me saying that she's been playing Mind Travel during her different sessions with her kindergarten students. And she had these, you know, 30 or so students that every day she would play Mind Travel for them, both during nap time as well as during other activities. And the kids would always ask for it. They just loved it. So again, this is not kids' music, but kids love it.
Oh my goodness. I don't think I've ever heard of the analogy of music as it relates to food.
I know. It's really how I think of it. It's, you know, it's like, I mean, like, I love listening, for instance, every now and then to a Katy Perry song or Lord or something like that. But if I listen to that all the time, I mean, that's my dessert. You know what I mean? But if I listen to that all the time, I kind of go crazy.
No, oh my goodness. I mean, now that you say it that way, it makes a lot more sense. It's not just a matter of kind of overloading yourself with one particular type of music, but maybe considering how several different types of music can help you find balance and can kind of give you the comparative contrast for you to appreciate different things and to, like you said, be nourished in a way that maybe just listening to pop music or pop or kid versions of songs can't really achieve with young minds.
And I also, I mean, to be honest, I also have parents in mind because, I mean, how many parents, and I'm sure you can relate to this, can kind of go crazy when they're always singing along or playing the kids' songs, you know? So, I mean, they're fun and they're fun to do with your kids, but at some point you're like, oh my God, I need some other kind of music.
Yeah, I remember when Frozen, the first Frozen came out, we had the Let It Go soundtrack on repeat for
exactly
strong
exactly. Now, look, and the kids are gonna do that, right? I mean, the kids are gonna do that and that's fine, but what if you sat with your child and you had this kind of really intentional moment where you're both in silence, maybe cuddling, you know, maybe holding each other, maybe it's there's some coloring and some drawing to begin with, and then that gets set aside once that energy is released and you're just kind of holding each other in the music for half an hour, for an hour, whatever it might be, whatever we have time for. That bonding through this connective music, it's irreplaceable. I mean, the kind of energy that creates is, I don't know, to me, that's the moments of life that are worth living.
Oh my goodness, that is just so uplifting, and I think a lot of our families are going to appreciate this segment because there are so many of us that have different relationships to music. You had a family that really encouraged it, and you had the benefit of learning it very early on in your life. And so some of our listeners, maybe they didn't have that. And so this conversation, I think, has a little bit of something for everybody, right? Whether you're somebody who's been heavily influenced by music or you're a first-time parent and you're looking for ways to implement it in your day-to-day life and find balance with doing so in a way that is impactful and beneficial to both yourself and your child and your family. So,
absolutely.
You know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do have just two more questions. Now, you are just a breadth of knowledge, and I know that you have so much experience, but if somebody wanted to get more information or if there's any other resources or things that they can read into, are there any specific books that you think our families might be interested in reading to find out more information about both Mind Travel, but also your technique and music for their children in general?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't by definition a lot out there in terms of kind of what I'm up to because it's so new. So I do plan on it at some point writing my own book. There is a book that was an influence for me called The Mysticism of Sound and Music. And it's an old text. It's about 100 plus years old. But for those that are looking for something a little esoteric and want to get into kind of the healing properties of music, it's quite powerful. It's called, again, it's called The Mysticism of Sound of Music and Sound, and it's by Hazrat Inayat Khan. He was a Sufi master from over 100 years ago and really had some wonderful thoughts about really the power and healing power of music.
Okay, so I have just one more question for you, and that is, how can somebody find you if they wanted to follow up and ask you any questions about this segment or about mind travel or to get more information on some of the special events that you hold for families?
So we list everything on mindtravel.com, and we have both the experiences we're doing virtually now, and eventually when we're able to be back out in the community and doing live events. I typically spend over half the year touring around the country. I was actually on a 70-city tour when COVID hit, so we were 10 cities in and we had to cancel it. So we hopefully we'll get back out there in 2021, and until then we'll be doing some virtual Zoom and online experiences. And of course, we're on social media as well, both on Facebook and Instagram in particular. And we're always posting kind of short pieces of content and inspirational items on those channels.
Well, thank you so much for that. You know, I know I definitely follow you. And for those of you that are at home or you're in your car listening to this segment, I would encourage you to check it out, because this conversation really just is the tip of the iceberg for all of the many offerings that Mind Travel does offer. But then if you go to the website and you look through the content, or you go to Facebook, you can get a much clearer idea of just how beneficial this is and how it can not only just help your child, but if you specifically have an interest in music or in art or in visual arts, I think that there is something very special in these pages for you and on this website as well. And I would encourage you to check it out. I'd like to thank you again, Murray, for joining us today. And I want to thank all of you guys for listening to another episode of the Parent Pod Podcast.
To learn more about this week's episode or the content discussed in the episode, be sure to follow Jimboree Play and Music on Facebook.